Let's open our Bibles tonight, going back to Ephesians chapter 4, venturing on in the wonders of the masterpiece of grace in Ephesians. Hallelujah. And what we are to him, isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Thank you, God, the very inheritance of him. But brothers and sisters, understanding that the bride for the Lamb, oh my, that he will present to himself. Let it just touch you deeply. Let it be so personal. Let the grace of God get a hold of your life and mine too, in Jesus' name. Now, reading from, let's go ahead and read right from verse 11. Chapter 4, and this is to the church, what he gave to the church and the encouragement for it to grow up into him in all things. And here we go. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here's why he gave it: for the perfecting of the saints. Oh yes, this completion, this wonderful encouragement for the finishing of these ones that would grow up into him in all things. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Think of the just, not just the requirement, but brothers and sisters, the responsibility we have in ministering truth and love to one another. That's what edification is. And I thank God that the Lord in his grace has that present in this meeting. Thank you, Jesus. And here's how long it goes. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. So this is till we see him, praise God, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And here we go again. This is what the Lord's after, the perfecting of the saints, unto a perfect man, completely finished, not lacking a thing, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How specific in the growth and the fullness of that growth is our Lord conveying to us in this. There's no doubt what he wants. There's no doubt what the purpose of this age is. There's no doubt that he doesn't want us, he does not want us to remain his children. He wants us to grow up. Oh, yes, he does. And he goes on here and he says, that we henceforth, and here's how much he wants us to be grown up, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And think who he's speaking to. He's speaking to those that have the calling and the choosing upon their life to grow up into him in all things. And he's telling them to stop. No more. No more. Children. Come on. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. There we're right back to it again. Everything, completeness, perfection, the measure, the stature, the fullness into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. That's how necessary you are to the body, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See how much you want the Lord working in you? You want full truth and love and all grace and truth. My goodness, not for you. How about for me? In the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So it's just this increase and increase and increase of love. Praise the Lord. And how wonderful that is. And how rare that is. It's extinct, almost. And I thank God it still has life in here because of the grace of God that is with us. And that's not to compliment ourselves, brothers and sisters, but I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I love its testimony. I love its testimony of the bridal testimony that we have in here. And I am thankful to the Lord. And I'm not here to boast of any person, but I do thank God for his grace. And I do magnify the grace of God. And I thank the Lord in magnifying the grace of God. You're going to commend the saints that are full and present in all of the grace of God. Now, brothers and sisters, what we have tonight as we start out here is a clear warning. And we're going right to verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Stop. And here's what children do, and here's what their habits are. They're tossed to and fro, and they're carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You don't want to have itching ears for anything but bridal truth. You don't. You can think that these things might be helping you, but I'm here to tell you, to plead with you, and I have been more bold in it, especially as of late, and God make me even the more bold in it. The Word of God says, stop. Be no more children. And we need to awaken to this, brothers and sisters, because I'll tell you what, you don't want to lay down your crown. Amen. You don't want to lay it down. You don't want to be carried away. Now, the mature, ready wife lives only the life that there is no other gospel but Paul's. Amen. She's married to no other gospel. This is it. That's why the church of Ephesus had one thing against them. They left the first love. The bride is in love with the first love. The bride is in love only with the first love. And that is the married gospel. That's the bridal message. And she doesn't fool around. She's not dating the Lord. She's married. This is it. He's the one. That's all I want. That's all I want to hear. I want to hear Christ, my bridegroom. Those foundation things have laid. Now go on. Be no more children. Don't mess with that stuff. Mature sons, praise God, remain in that love. They don't just hit and miss. They don't slip back into infancy. And remember, this is faith. This is faith. This is not talking about the outward appearance. This isn't saying, oh, that looks like a bridal saint. You don't even know what that is. You don't. But you know what the faith of the bridal saint is? It's the one faith. It's the faith of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the faith, praise God, that overcomes all things, that continues to go after no matter what was said, what was done, no matter how bad they failed, their best friend failed, their elder, their pastor failed. It didn't matter. I'm coming to this meeting because of the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now there it is. And I thank God for this warning. And it's a warning. The wife is faithful only to the first love gospel of Paul. That's it. And the evidence is the evidence. You don't mess around with anything else. Marriage, and my wife, she's listening right now. It can be tough. It can be. Let me tell you something. The only perfect marriage there is with him. And you know that. I thank God for my marriage. I thank God for your marriage. And we dedicate those things to the Lord. But we know, brothers and sisters, that it's not smooth sailing. I loved how Brother Hill would always tell those couples getting married. Let me tell you something. You're going on the sea of matrimony. And that's the most tempestuous sea there ever could be. You talk about waves that hit you and, my goodness, everything and more you could ever imagine. But God. And so, brothers and sisters, what we have here is this person is so in first love, they just break from everything. And that's Sunday's message. Really, that's what it is. First love breaks. It breaks from everything. It does. It breaks from the past. It breaks from heartache. It breaks from family, familiar. It breaks from everything. It's in first love. It just goes. It breaks from pride. It does. It breaks from discouragement. The first love lifts you out of everything. That's what the full overcomer is. You're just riding the great love of Jesus. Because if you're riding on your knowledge of this, or you're riding on you think you're faithful in this, you're done. You will crash. And thank God we will when that happens, but he's faithful to do it. Children play with milk. That's what children do. The Word of God tells us that. We'll be there in just a minute. They're tossed, it says. They're tossed to and fro. As you get into the meaning of that word tossed, it means imprisoned by emotions. By emotions. Now, emotions are wonderful things. God gave those to us. Oh, Jesus had beautiful emotion. He'd weep, he'd laugh. The joy. Oh, so overwhelmed. Oh, Father. Looking at his friends, those disciples that were just getting ready to all leave him. Look what you've given me. So much. He was so overwhelmed. But see, those are the emotions that are in the love of Christ. Those are the emotions, praise God, that are motivated by faith. And yet, this tossed means imprisoned by our natural emotions. Tossed literally means agitated mentally, fluctuating up and down, and up and down. Now, we all have better days than others. We all have moments. But don't let that moment be a moment that gets you away from, yea, the deep things of God. Don't turn to these things. And what happens is when you begin to feed, and it does, it happens every single time. When you begin to feed on these ones that don't know, that do not know, and do not preach truly the truth and love doctrine, you will get unstable. And you will. And it creeps in very subtly. And you can think you're being encouraged. But then I go back to this. Is your life up and down and up and down? It's because you're not feasting continually on the strong meat. You're giving your ear to things that will toss you, that have you swayed, winds of doctrine. And for the most part, as the Lord says about the sleight of men, I just say, think, and I don't even want you to research it, but I'll guarantee you without a doubt, the belly's in that one. And what I mean by the belly, there's an interest and an intent to get to your wallet. I thank God for however Christ is preached, and I do. But why would we go to something that the Lord is warning us? We're not children. And I challenge you, brothers and sisters, where can we go to get this strong meat? I wish it was everywhere. But not only do I want strong meat, you know what I want? I want truth in love. I don't want truth in love, again, 1 week, and then I get truth and pound it over the head another week. I want truth in love every time we open our mouths. I expect that of every minister in this place, and that means every single one of you. We are all ministering saints, the Word of God tells us. We're all here for the purpose, by God's grace, of one collective thing, which is the edifying of the body. And I thank God for that. The responsibility that we have one to another. And you know what it is? Just keep on into more grace. More grace. Whatever your life turns and all the different things that come at you, all your different infirmities, keep turning to grace. And I'm talking about in sincerity and thankfulness. Not using grace for an excuse. That appears very quickly. But the grace of God, brothers and sisters, turn to it, rejoice in it, thank the Lord for it, let it be known, and go after even the more of it. Now, Being mature is Christ's fullness of full grace and truth in a life. All grace, all truth is a mind that is stayed upon him, and that mind is in perfect peace. See, when you're in all grace and all truth, you'll get hit, but you'll recover quickly. You really will. You'll come out of it. You might get, you know, we used to call them stingers in football. You get your shoulder hit and you'd be like this. Wow, he's walking wonky, and then it would just kind of come back. That's a stinger. You get dinged in the head. You can tell I got dinged in the head probably one too many times, but you recover, and here we go again. Your eyes are a little bit brighter. But that's what this is. And truly, take the grace. Don't get out of the game. I don't. Just keep on. And I thank God how he can do that for us. But that mind that stayed upon him, it's in perfect peace. And the stayed upon him mind is Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Stay in that, brothers and sisters. We're going to have to fight. Now fight even harder. And there's a lot of wounds in that. You don't need to pick up mud, rocks. Don't worry, you'll get hit with them. And you'll get muddy. But you let God. And then it's wonderful as the Lord keeps you, and it's all by the grace of God. And maybe in that love and that hope that has resided in you, the Lord will make it known to somebody else to say, you know what? That really was sincere. Thank you, Jesus. Now, few saints seek this. The Word of God tells us that. Very few saints are mature, because only Paul's gospel of all grace will grow you up. There's a reason that the Apostle Paul was the one that chastened the brethren. Feed only on strong meat and get away from milk. You don't hear that very often, do you? Matter of fact, I don't hear that at all. The only place I've really ever heard it is in this place. Isn't it interesting? Because the Apostle Paul speaks of it many different times. And it's very important, and he's very emphatic, that if you don't stay with the strong meat, you'll end up a child. If you don't stay with the strong meat, well, first of all, if you don't receive the strong meat, you can never grow up. But what the warning is here is for those that have received the strong meat to not turn from it, to appreciate it, to appreciate grace. And I thank God. A virtuous wife is beyond thankful for her husband. Are you thankful for your husband, Jesus? I mean, are you really thankful for him? God help us. Let's not take our husband for granted. Let's not take him for granted. The grace, the mercy that he's shown us, that he's just drawn to us. We were in that crowded room of all them virgins, and nope, she's the one. That's the one I want. That's you. You were the one that was called to the well. Amen. You. Many of us, and I'm going to tell you, for many of you, and I thank God I've got siblings that were called to that well too. But many of you here, you're the only one in the family. That's it. And you know it. And you know that's just the grace and mercy of God, because I'll assure you, probably at least 90% of the ones that are the only one, you are the worst one in the family. Amen. Just be honest. You were the, there's something wrong with that one. And they're handing out, well, never mind. You know, that trained brain, I'll take that one later, but whatever. But that's how gracious your husband was to you. He could not have anyone else but you. And this isn't to make it up. This is exactly what we've been studying all the way through Ephesians from the very beginning. He chose you. He chose you because you understand this. You have this. And that's the evidence of who his bride and wife is. She knows. She doesn't doubt. She's not running around as a child. She doesn't have other loves. You just love this. That's what you love. He put that in you. He knew that you would take it, and he put that in you. And he put that in you in him. And he did it before creation. This is all what we've just, this is it. This is the word of God. We have went through this line upon line, precept upon precept. And you know what? It's clicking. The light has gone on in here, and I thank the Lord. We see it. It's not something we hear. That's me. That's mine. I am his. I am his desire. I'm everything to him. But it was all because of grace and mercy. And he put that in us to understand. And so, once again, do we really appreciate our husband? Do we just adore him? Do we just break and crumble in a sense to say, Lord, I don't want anything else but my bridegroom. Amen? It doesn't matter who it offends. It doesn't even matter if it offends me. And if my flesh somewhat desires that other stuff, shut it down. Pray, ask the Lord, get me away from that nonsense. There's something about having our ears tickled. It's like flattery or something. I don't know. God help us, and God really help us. The husband, brothers and sisters, is the word of his grace. The husband is Paul's gospel, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus message. That's the husband. That's our Lord. He is that word. And that's the word that we know. And that is the word, by the grace of God, that is the first love of the wife. It's the only love of the wife. The wife will not settle for anything but that. Jesus even showed that to us. She's chosen the better part. Amen? He's shown us that through all of his word. It's Esther. It's Ruth. It's Rebecca. I'm not going to have whatever the other names will throw in there. Those were the ones I chose. That same first love chooses him and chooses that bridal message and says, that's it. Amen. Now, this isn't something that is like protocol or demanded or ordered. This is what love is. I mean, I'm looking at many couples here. You know, if somebody come up to you and say, well, that's great that you know, there's sweet Hagen and Jeanette. You love each other so much. It's wonderful to see. What a precious testimony. Well, Hagen, you know, you can't have Jeanette, but we'll give you something. We'll give you the consolation prize. It didn't matter if you got second prize or 500th prize. It wasn't going to work. I want my prize. I want my jewel. I want my goodly pearl. That's what I want. That's who the Father is seeking and searching for his Son. That one. I will go. I will go. I will go. And I commend you, saints. Good soldiers. Because you've been beat up. From family, society, you get beat up. You've been beat up in here. This ain't a smooth run in here. We know that. We're rough and rugged. Foxholes are tough. Sometimes you got to get shaken up. Sometimes it wasn't really justified. But are you in it? And is the goal worth it? And the proof's in the pudding. You're here. And I thank God that's what it is. Now, brothers and sisters, I believe we are thankful. And I don't think we take the Lord for granted in this. And I thank God that we have faith in his faithfulness, that we'll be faithful only to it. The gospel is our husband, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the pitiful children. And I want to hit this. We've been in this here recently in Hebrews chapter 5. Go on over there. And if these things are plaguing your life, face them. Let the Lord deal with it. Verse 11, what it says here, chapter 5 of Hebrews. Of Jesus, we have many things to say, is what Paul's saying here. Hard to be uttered. Hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. It's almost hard in a way for Paul to even speak because it hurt him. These people had received the truth. They'd received the strong meat. They should be teaching the strong meat. Hard for him to utter this. that you're heartbroken. You're heartbroken when God's precious people don't appreciate what he's done in his grace. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, yet ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. They got so far away. And you think about the first principles as well, too. They just got away from grace. We got to go all the way back to grace to start again, to go on to more grace. And you're going to see what I'm talking about here in just a minute. Even if you don't agree with it, you'll see what the Lord says. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You become babies again. But everyone that uses milk is unskillful. That means they're ignorant in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You do not want to be ignorant in the word of righteousness. You don't want to be. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Don't become dull of hearing. Don't do that. Don't have any excuse to become dull of hearing. And one of the greatest excuses of people that know the bridal truth is, I know that. I've already heard that. Somebody tells you something about the bridal truth. Oh, yeah. Oh, it just makes me crazy. I mean, I don't care if you were just reading that scripture and somebody tells you that. That's the most beautiful thing. That's called sufficient witness. Amen. And to be quickened in it from the edifying of the body. Thank the Lord. I mean, it's so incredible. But it's incredible how callous and prideful. And, oh, I know more than him, or this person can't teach me anything. Oh, my goodness. Wake up. That's all I can tell you is wake up. The Lord, oh, Jesus, come in. Children want their own way. That's what children do. They are. And babies in Christ don't want to be wise unto righteousness. Children are those that know the bridal truth, but still play with the toys of legality. They like the tickle their emotion with milk. Selfish children want their way. That's what children do. They want their works. They want their acts. They want their goodness. I thank the Lord. I'm amongst people that we rejoice in the wretched man that we are. And then maybe you'll get somewhere in growing up in the things of Christ, brothers and sisters. I want you to go on over to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to think about what we just read. I want you to think about what Paul now states here in chapter 3, verse 1. Paul's wrapping it up. We've just talked about being ignorant in righteousness, right? And that those are children. They're ignorant in it, all right? So verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, finally, my brethren, finally, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. We're talking about legality in very, very just apparent everywhere. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Did they have a little confidence? Zero. Absolutely none. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And I love that counted. There's a thought in that, and one of the meanings of it is there's an agreement. He counted it loss in the agreement with Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, he that is full of grace and truth, thy Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Here's the winner. Found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith. And that faith is what inherits the promises of God. And Paul said, let me tell you something. Have no confidence in the flesh. He became wise unto salvation. He became wise, praise God, unto righteousness. Amen. And Paul says shortly hereafter that he's won and he's finished his course. And he speaks of what's laid up for him. And it's the exalted rank of righteousness crown. He grew up fully in that righteousness. Now we would look at that as in the natural mind of a Christian and say, well, that means he had the most impeccable flesh of anybody. Because that's what righteousness is, isn't it? Isn't righteousness the definition of how good your acts are? No, it's not. But that's what 99.9% of Christianity thinks it is. And that's the truth. We can be disguised and say, oh, it's the grace of God. It's the great. Well, what's he doing? No, it's the grace of God. Well, did you just do that? Is it grace or is it works? Is it spirit or is it flesh? It's one or the other. And Paul, as he said, touching the law, let me tell you something. Get in line, because that's going to be behind me. But I was the chief of sinner going after that. Do you get this? And what he's telling us is that as Christians, we do not want to be found having one shred of our own righteousness. That's a child. That's somebody who is up and down and up and down and confused and tossed and then cold and harsh and judgmental, conceited, elevated in their own mind and comparing everybody amongst, well, themselves. The benchmark of it is all. Do you believe? Do we believe? Praise God. It's by faith. And thank the Lord. This is what he's after for us and what he wants us to go after. I think about our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On the outward appearance, he did not look like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, he did not. His body was weak. He was teased over and over. He was ridiculed, shamed by his family even, forsaken by his friends. Well, brothers and sisters, do we look like the bride for the Lamb? We're weak in these bodies. We're pressed out of measure. We're despairing of our own lives. And it does say we don't yet appear what we shall be. Praise God. Praise God. My outward appearance is not my benchmark to win Christ. And yours isn't either. It's faith. And it's faith in love. And praise God, the only thing that'll grow you up to win Christ is truth in love. That's it. It's all grace. It's going to be to understand the vessel of mercy. Praise the Lord. That you truly are. And the awareness and the appreciation of that. And that growth of the wife just becoming more adoring of her husband. That's what he wants to see. That wife that just grows more and more and more in love. And this is what does it. This message does it, doesn't it? It causes us to love. It causes us to have desire. And yet, as Paul said, and you're going to be tried. And it's going to be, you would think it's strange, the fiery trial that hits you. Paul, he went to the Lord, remove this from me. I can't be the man of God. I need to be with this hitting me. You got to get this thorn out of me. Well, let me tell you about that thorn. I sent a messenger of Satan to give you that one. I'm not messing around with you. I'm not going to let you be exalted for one bit. You're not even going to appear in your righteousness. Paul, I love you too much. And without that stinger, son, without that bringing that infirmity to your life, you would come and be found in a little bit of your righteousness. And you know what you'd be holding? A big fat palm, son. And that's not for you. And in my faithfulness, I've afflicted you, honey. Oh, Paul, he didn't put his head down and say, oh, Lord, I just feel like such a bad guy. No, he lifted his head and he said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I glory in my infirmity. I glory in this. Listen, I glory in my infirmities. I need the power of Christ resting upon me if I'm going to win this. I got to have his power to finish with a full joy. Let the mind of Christ reign. Oh, hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Now, here is how maturity appears and remains. Let's go on back to our text and let's look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's the life of alive and remaining and living in truth in love. It's not a hit and miss. We just abide there. I thank the Lord. I have to tell you, I thank the Lord so much. Early on, as the Lord called me to pastor, it had been a couple, 3 years. And remember that a couple people came in here and they're trying to be insulting. Ah, oh, that pastor, all he preaches about is love. Praise God. That's what you're going to hear. Because without it, you ain't going to win. And I'm not going to win. And I'd be robbing you. I could tickle your ears with a bunch of stuff. Shoot, I've had enough of a life that I know what tickles people's ears. I know what gets them interested real fast. You want to win or not? You want to just be carried away with these things? And it's the sleight of men. Whether it's money or egos or whatever it is, we're here to magnify him and Christ Jesus him, our bridegroom. That's what we want to talk about. And these are the essential two if we're going to attain Christ the prize. It's truth in love. That's how we grow up into him in all things. Truth in love. That's the transformation, praise God, that's going on in his ministry in this place. That's the transformation that includes, brothers and sisters, you and me, the ministering of the saints. That's what happens here. See, I thank the Lord as this word's coming out, and I'm the master mouthpiece of this as the Lord has given this to me, but I'm receiving, praise God, the ministering of the saints as I see that your heart is panting after him like a deer for the water. And I kid you not, it's the most glorious thing is to see our eyes in tune with the word, the eyes of the dove that come out of our eyes. Really, truly, we see this together. You talk about a transforming power. This is it. But this is living a life of truth and love and immersed in it. I've been cornered a couple times. One time not too long ago. Well, brother, it's the truth. And I had to tell this brother, and I love him so much. Love him so, so much. I said, yes, it's truth, but it's not truth in love. And I was thankful the Lord encouraged my heart. Without truth and love, you'll never grow a thing. And without speaking truth and love, I'm not going to grow up fully. Especially if we're after growing up into him in all things. It has to be in love. And that's the truth. Amen. See, we don't take this truth because it's jammed in us. We're not taking this truth of the bride for the Lamb of God because we're fearful. I'm not wanting to be in the bride to just be taken before the tribulation. That's a great, you know, benefit of it. But that's not it. Oh, no. I'm not wanting to win because I get to reign and rule with him in the midst of his throne. I'm not running to win in a sense, really, and I mean this very sincerely, to be glorified together with him. I'm thrilled that he's going to do that. Not that he just wants to. He's going to do that. All right? I love how he loves me. I mean, I love how he loves me. And the sooner that I get to see him, I'm all in. And here he's telling me, praise God, you'll see me first. First. Amen. That's it. Now, this love, this truth in love, it means into hollows. That word into means the hollows. See, the bride completes him. Into him. Completes him. So gorgeous. The hollows into him. Into a hidden thing. The mystery that was hidden from the prophets, from the sons of men. But here we are, brothers and sisters, beholding him as it says in Corinthians, as in a glass darkly. We behold him in that, and we're changed. We're changed from glory to glory into his image. This past couple weeks, I looked up that word changed, and it's used 4 times in the Word of God, 2 times in the Gospels, and those 2 times are at the Mount Transfiguration. And what that means, that word changed there, it means that Christ Jesus was changed, his face was changed into sun glory. So the other 2 times that word is used is in Paul's epistles. And in both places, just like this, we're changed into sun glory. And I love that it's 4 times. That's the cherubim. I thank God we know that the number 4 is that precious weakness. We have no strength, do we? Those 4 pillars were there was only 4 as you went into the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies. And here we are. Oh, we delight, don't we? And it's not just grow, it's not just grow up. I love how Brother Copley says this. It's not just grow up into him, it's grow up into him in all things. He wants one to the measure and the stature and the fullness of him. He wants a wife. He wants that joint heir. That one that will converse and rule and reign and be glorified together with him upon every level. Share in everything. That knows the love of Christ. That knowledge that we can reciprocate with him. About his grace. Reciprocate with him about this mercy. A child can't do that. And you grow in grace, and here it is, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, that's the knowledge of him that is full of grace and truth, and that's the ones that grow up. In verse 16, as we close this up, we are enjoined together in this masterpiece of grace. We are. We're enjoined in it. The bridal body fully grown up together. Brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord in his grace we dwell together. We've settled down in marriage. It's what we have here. It's what we have here. It's our speak. It's our abiding. It's our livelihood, it's our living, it's what we're living for. We're abiding as the readied wife, and we thank the Lord for that. And it's just because of his word that we say this, because he's given us the faith by grace to believe it. And it's more real than what my eyes see. It's the substance and the evidence of everything, because it is the faith of the Son of God that he's given us this. There's no if in this. I'm not hoping if. The hope is when. I know it's already been done. I thank the Lord. The choosing's already been done. I thank God. I'm just waiting for the manifestation of it. All of creation's groaning, and I'm groaning with them. And I've got a special groaning. And I've got it with you. Because we know and we comprehend this together. And the edifying of itself in love. We're growing up. This precious little body that we have here, part of it, we're growing. We're growing because of love. We're not stagnant. We haven't flatlined. We're growing. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. Let's just end with reading this together. That their hearts might be comforted. And mine's comforted. And it's comforted with you, praise God. Being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I think that's what we've been rejoicing in tonight. All riches and the full assurance of understanding. Thank the Lord, the Holy Ghost, check those boxes. To the acknowledgement, and we acknowledge it, of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I take that and say this, it's the only thing to know. If it's all the treasure and wisdom of knowledge, it's got to be the only thing to know. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.